Yeah, I say, what about Kenneth Horn today?
I know, I couldn't believe it. What do you think happened?
Well, I'm not one to gossip, but I know this much. He went to see this man, I don't know his name, but apparently he's been going there regularly 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, the results are fantastic.
They certainly are. When Ken took his hat off and revealed that mop of dark wavy hair,
and it's not a wig either, I know.
Yes, we saw you stroking it in the corner.
I wonder who it was he went to see.
That was an excerpt from The Miracle Worker. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Airmail Voice Choir, Miss Ida Inspiration.
She give you ideas.
To continue, Ina Meany and Hermione Moe. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, the man of whom somebody once said,
"Your back and sides, you must be joking."
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that was originally taken from the Russian Nodroskia Nuchka Comrade via the Admiralty. Well, now, it's always nice to think of holidays, and I've been recalling my last vacation, which was spent in Jamaica, island of sun and of rum. I just lay on the hotel beach, and a waiter introduced me to a variety of rum concoctions. On the other hand, some of the girls were quite attractive. All very different from the previous year's holiday I had when I received an invitation from a friend to join him for a few days. I looked at the address, and I made up my mind on the spot. Off I went to the passport office, and the chap was most helpful. He said, "Sex?" And I said, "Yes, rather." Anyhow, he showed me an actual passport and pointed out that on page 3 you have to have a photograph of bearer. Well, I managed to rake out a photo of an old bearer I once engaged in Latvia. And eventually my passport arrived. Well, by this time it was late October, and I told my friend I'd been a bit delayed. Just as well in one way, because it gave me a chance to brush up my French a bit. Or brusser up mon français. And then the great day came. I had a splendid trip, and when I arrived, there was my friend at the station to meet me. I rushed up to him and said, "Alors, bonjour, monsieur, comment ça va?" And he replied,
"Hello, Kim. Welcome to Aspi de la Zouche."
Oh, I was disappointed. It really knocked me for a demi-douzaine. However, that's all in the past. As for the present, last Sunday I watched television as usual. Always watch Perry Mason. Whatever happens, I make a point of seeing it. The thing is, I want to be there when Perry Mason loses a case. But I'm fascinated by all these court dramas. Mason, Sam Benedict, The Verdict Is Yours. And I think it's high time we put on the wigs and gowns, so stand by now for a thrilling court drama.
We present A Brief Encounter, or over now to the center court.
This is Mervyn Spenlove, your reporter at the Berkenshaw Assizes.
Oh, sir, are you sure?
Of course I am.
Oh, sorry I spoke.
You, sir, are out of order.
Yes, I know, it's all these burst pipes we've been having recently.
We are at the Berkenshaw Assizes because a large courtroom was necessary and the others were a few sizes too small. Sitting on the bench is Mr. Justice Shelby Dunn.
Be upstanding in court.
Yeah, there's a sight I never thought I'd see. Kenneth Horne in a wig.
It's a tea cozy, actually. I was in a hurry this morning and snatched it off the table by mistake.
Silence in court.
Oh, go on, let him have a good laugh. Now, let us proceed to the proceedings.
Lord, I object.
I haven't said anything yet.
I realize that, my lord. I was merely practicing.
And I'm sure you need it, too. By the way, who are you?
I'm counsel for the defense, my lord. Perry Featherstone Hoare, ABC.
you mean QC, Queen's Counsel.
No, my lord, ABC, Acton Borough Council.
Very well. Now, prisoner at the bar, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Yes.
Well, now, let's put it another way.
All right, then. No.
I'm afraid I must have an answer one way or the other. Guilty or not guilty?
Lord, I refuse to allow my client to plead guilty on the grounds that he might incriminate himself.
The plea is not guilty.
Oh, thanks. I'll be getting along then.
Come back. Now, your name?
Mud, my lad.
I'm not surprised.
Herbert Mud, L-R-A-M.
It's a funny way to spell mud. Occupation or profession?
I'm a musician.
Oh, really? You're not with Paul Fennelly's lot, are you?
I said a musician.
Oh, beg your pardon. Now, you're charged with breaking and entering a music shop in the High Street and on being challenged by the proprietor, stooping to violence.
Well, it was a very short proprietor.
All right, counsel for the prosecution, state your case.
Thank you, my lad. I should like to call first an important witness for the prosecution. Call Bill Bailey.
Call Bill Bailey.
Call Bill Bailey.
He's gone out.
Instead, my lad, I should like at this point to call a surprise witness.
Oh, good. I like surprises.
Call Eileen Gurley. And if a man answers, hang up.
Call Eileen Gurley, and if a man answers, hang up.
Call Eileen Gurley, and if a man answers, hang up.
We'll adjourn for a few minutes. Proceed, Eileen.
I watch you like a hawk, know every move you make. That's why I go wherever you go. Let's take another look in my I love you book. Well, well, here's one thing I'd like to know. Where were you on the night of June the 3rd? Speak up, ma'am. What'd you do on the night of June the 3rd? Let's have the truth. Did you meet a stranger? Did you take a walk? Was your heart in danger? So you won't talk, eh? Who'd you love while the world was counting sheep? Now you must remember that. Promised that you'd be a one girl boy for keep. Just remember, I heard every word. Together on the night of June the 3rd. Don't you remember? We were together. You said it was forever on that fateful night, June the 3rd. Well, I think you might at least have remembered that.
Darling, nice, Eileen, can I see you afterwards if there's no objection?
Oh, but
objection overruled. Very well, now. Prosecuting counsel.
Thank you, my lord. And now, if it pleases your most worthy and learned self,
crawl up.
I object, my lord. My learned friend's remarks are irrelevant, immaterial, and inconsequential.
Can I countersubmit, my lord, that it's illegal, it's immoral, and it makes you fat? And if that learned nit doesn't belt out...
Quiet! I'll have none of this Sam Benedict stuff here. Another outburst like this from you, and I shall fine you £5 for contempt of court.
£500 wouldn't be enough to show my contempt of this court.
Continue, please.
Hey, my lad, I call now P.C. Merriweather.
P.C. Merriweather?
P.C. Merriweather?
Who? Who? P.C. Merriweather. Oh, hold on a minute, it's me.
You are P.C. Merriweather?
I am.
Raise your right hand and read the words on this card.
Happy birthday, Dorothy. Oh, my love, Bert.
Oh, sorry, wrong card. Continue with the evidence.
P.C. Merriweather, will you tell us what occurred on the Thursday of last month?
Very good, sir. I'll just refer to me diary. Here we are. Thursday the 25th. I've been awfully worried about Jim... Oh, sorry, you're on. All right, here we are. Well, I was proceeding in a northwesterly direction along the high street, which is very difficult because it runs due east. However, I heard a tinkling of glass and running footsteps, and on entering the music shop, I perceived, with the aid of my eyes, the proprietor lying on the floor, having been hit on the head with a heavy instrument.
So what did you do?
I called a policeman. And that we tested for fingerprints.
Well, now, these fingerprints, I should like to see them.
Oh, of course, my lord. I've got them all at my fingertips.
Then I submit that makes them your fingerprints.
Eh, ah, sire.
Very well. You may stand down.
Well, if it's all the same, I'd rather stand up.
Clerk of the court, make a note of that. Now, let's hear the other side of the story. Counsel for the defense. Counsel for the defense.
Sorry, my lord. I was having a kip on the table. Or should I say, the defense rests. Our lord, I intend to establish three things concerning the alleged theft and assault by my client. Firstly, that he wasn't there. Secondly, that he was only passing by. And thirdly, that the other bloke started it in the first place. And if that fails, we shall plead insanity and prove it. For my first witness, call Madge Longbottom.
Madge Longbottom?
Madge Longbottom? Madge Longbottom?
Call!
You are Madge Longbottom?
No.
Now, just a moment. Can I have some explanation?
Well, sir, I've changed my name.
A wise decision. For the record, then, may we have your name now?
Lolita Longbottom.
Lolita Longbottom, are you familiar with the accused? Where were you on the night of Thursday the 25th?
At home, alone.
You should be with us. We had a marvelous time. You did not see your fiancé, Herbert Mudd, on the night in question.
He's not my fiancé. We're just good friends.
Yes, yes, that's all right. But I put it to you... I put it to you that you did know the whereabouts of your fiancé on that evening.
Yes, that's true. He was with my girlfriend, Lil, the perishing two-time and clod-hopping old...
Miss Longbottom. Longbottom, please. Refrain from that sort of language here. Just Steptoe and son, you know. Besides, if you carry on like that, you'll end up in court.
But I am in court.
See, I warned you.
Miss Longbottom, in your opinion, was Herbert Mudd capable of petty thieving?
No, he never thieved a penny in his life. The only thing he's ever taken is a bit of a liberty.
Thank you, quite so. I submit, my lord, there is...
Objection! With all due respect, my learned friend is talking out of the back of his head.
I am not. I've got my wig on the wrong way around. I should now like to call a further character witness for the defense. You are Hot Rod Charlie.
Yeah.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Call the next witness. P.C. Upjohns, constable. Constable, where were you on the evening in question?
Outside the house of the accused, sir.
All evening?
Yes, sir. About 7:30, I saw the accused drive up in his car with a nice bit of crackling.
You mean a faulty engine, perhaps?
No, Lord, a nice bit of crackling is a colloquial expression for a nice piece of stuff.
I see. I see. Carry on.
Huh?
Carry on.
Oh, I couldn't. Not in court, my lord. Well, I did it.
Where's the case?
Oh, yes.
Before entering the house, the accused parked his car outside, and I thought to myself, I've got him now. You see, on that side of the road, there's a notice that says no parking here except on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which fall on odd dates, and every third Friday and every second month, other than on bank holidays. Well, I wasn't sure if he'd committed an offence or not, but by the time I'd worked it out, it was Wednesday. And then I knew I'd got him.
All right, now, I've heard enough evidence to prove the innocence of the accused, and I know you will give your verdict accordingly. Members of the jury, you may retire. Well, that was quick. Have you reached your verdict?
We have.
And how do you say, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty, my lord.
Oh, no, no, spare me. I'm too innocent to go to Holloway. Oh, I don't know, though.
All right. All right, Maud, they don't mean you. They're referring to him.
Me? By appearing for the defense. Take your hands off me. Oh, my lord, I protest. At this verdict.
No good protesting. No good at all. Take him away.
Oh, but I demand to know on what grounds?
On the grounds you've been getting away with murder for years. Oh. And now we're in session in the case of the Fraser Hayes Four.
Sunbeams in the snow
and a twinkle in your eye. I remember oh so clearly that you nearly passed me by.
Then it happened in Sun Valley when you slipped and fell, and so did I.
Folks, let's go for a ride. Get your favorite one to sit by his side. Cuddle up in the sleigh, giddy up, belly gray, and away we go.
While we listen to the sleigh bells ring, yodeling to your baby, you'll be nice and warm no matter how cold you may be.
Take a look at little Jack and Jill. They ski down the hill. That's a snowplow turn, and look, there's a spill on the hill. When you're down, it's a thrill to go up again.
Everybody ought to learn to ski, for that's how we first met.
Were that Jack and Jill came down a hill. When I looked at you, my heart took a spill on a hill. It's a thrill I can't forget.
It happened in Sun Valley not so very long ago.
There were sunbeams in the snow.
twinkle in your eye. I remember oh so clearly that you nearly passed me by. Then it happened in Sun Valley when you slipped and fell, and so did
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Horne-O-Rama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on jobs.
Now, first of all, let's have a word with this gentleman. You work in a factory, I believe, sir.
That is serious. Steel and iron castings, but I myself spend most of my time in the warehouse amongst the goods waiting for dispatch to various quarters of the cosmos.
And what is your actual job?
Supervisor of safety precautions.
And what does that mean?
On the sprinkler system.
Now we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman. How do you do, sir?
How do you do? Nice of you to ask me. Thank you.
No, I...
Very nice.
Very nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now,
I'm very proud to be with you up here.
Oh, you are.
I like that.
Now, sir.
Yes.
I understand you have a very interesting job. You're a... perfumier.
That's right, yes. I've been responsible for many lovely perfumes. Desire, Evening in Valamai Street. And, here, have a whiff of this. My Sin.
My Sin. Could anybody be that bad?
Yes, no. the very latest perfume for ladies is our new one called Come and Get Me. But we're also doing aftershave lotion for men called Not On Your Nelly. Very nice. Very nice.
But tell me, what's that particular smell I'm getting at the moment?
That's me. Yes, it's a new line I discovered by accident when I fell off a barge this morning.
Oh, yes. And what is it?
Canal number 5.
Of the many thousands of different jobs, it's usually the more glamorous ones that get talked about. We are perhaps inclined to overlook those ordinary, everyday jobs that play such an important part in our lives. Who, at some time or another, could have managed without removals men?
Hello, Arden.
Hello, Charles.
All right, to you.
To me.
To you.
To me.
Right, put it down. Well, that's the piano.
Give us a tune, Ronald.
Oh, no. No, I've got to get this lot to Birmingham today. Come on, Charles, we better get going. Let's start with the piano.
Right. Well, sir, I say, Rodkins, didn't you ever get tired of this moving business?
Oh, yes, it's a pretty exhausting job.
You know, I've just been thinking.
What?
Wouldn't our job be much easier if we had a van?
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Horne-O-Rama who are waiting to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table and just recovering from a bad case of scotch, Rife Hobbitson.
Good evening. And to all my friends north of the border, to wit, to woo. To wit, to woo.
And what does that mean?
Hootsmon.
Next, our recording star, whose latest record is 3 months without a hit, Ricky Livid.
Hello, I know. I do have very high hopes for a little number I discovered this week entitled Bossa Nova to You Too.
And now once more, here she is, the lady with the best joints, Fanny Haddock.
Hello again. And last night we were frying up some potatoes and cabbage, and Johnny burnt it to a cinder.
And what was your comment?
That was the bubble and squeak that was.
Lastly, one of the beat generation, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, you know, the other day my combine harvester got out of control. And you know, it was chaotic. I got me wurzels all mangled, and as for me turnips,
yes,
well,
thank
they
you
were.
All right, that's the panel, and so to this week's question, which comes from
Titus A. Newt. I should like to ask the team what careers they would suggest for the young men of today.
Thank you, Mr. Newt. All right, let's hear from you, Rife Hobbitson.
Well, I don't know, really. But, you know, a young man came to me with this problem recently. He told me that he'd saved up a reasonable sum of money, and he couldn't make up his mind whether to get married or open up a garage. Well, I advised him to open up a garage. After all, you can back out of that.
Ricky Levitt.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think you should try all sorts of jobs, like, you take me, for instance. My first job was walking around with a sandwich board and that. Course size, only a bread and butter job. After that, I was a plumber's mate, a bricklayer, waiter, and then a pop singer, like.
And tell us, did this sudden rise to success and wealth alter your life in any way?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I mean, the first thing I'd done was to move my mum and dad out of their nice house in the suburbs into a council flat in the East End.
Well, to have done all these different jobs, you must have left school early. Did you enjoy school?
Well, it's all right, but I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
I didn't like the whacking.
Fanny Haddock, what do you think?
Well, my dear, there's no doubt about it at all. Yes, catering is the career for anyone. There's always a future in food. Become a chef. Oh, yes, there are courses available for all. Take a course in the art of cooking, and you won't ever regret it, my darling.
But supposing you find that at the end of it all, you just can't cook.
Then you can teach cookery like I do.
Now, what sort of career would you suggest, Arthur Fallon?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. I mean, agriculture offers a really worthwhile job to anyone. I've been at it now for many years, and I can honestly say this. If you like plenty of work, then on a farm, you'll be up to your neck in it. It's such a healthy life, too. I mean, just look at my ruddy complexion. The ruddy wind did that. And one more thing. When the work is done and the day is ending, you come home for a nice bit of grub, nice bit of baccy, a nice bit of warmth, and then upstairs for a
Thank
nice...
Thank you very much. Well, that's all for now. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be underwear companies. Do they have vested interests? Also, next week's program, we shall be having a talk on foreign affairs given by Brigitte Bardot. So, until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener in Leamington Spa. Is entente cordiale French for my aunt is in the orange squash?